Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of White Papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 128, Usability Testing. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated, marketing associate Guinevere Thompson.
Usability testing. Does your product make the grade? What is usability testing? More importantly, should you care? If you create products, tools, or applications that are used by customers, then usability testing is something you should not only care about, but something you should consider. Research shows that successful companies rely on usability testing to create effective products, tools, and websites. Did you know, for example, that at any given time, Amazon.com has about 200 usability tests underway? Brian Eisenberg, co-founder and chairman emeritus of Web Analytics Association, explained it more plainly. Alec Baldwin says in the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, to always be closing. Online, you have to always be testing. And in the case of usability testing, website design is only one of the areas where it is valuable. It can also be used for any product or tool that requires human interaction. Let's begin with a basic definition. Usability testing is a method applied to user-centered designs and products to evaluate how someone actually uses a product. For example, you could observe a customer trying to assemble something you designed with printed instructions and see if the task is completed as intended. Or you could watch a user navigate your website to find product information or services. Specifically, it measures a human-made product's capacity to meet its intended purpose. Usability testing is commonly used for consumer products, websites, web applications, computer interfaces, and devices. It measures the ease of use of a specific object or set of objects and shows a company how people use its product or application in real-life scenarios. Although the concept of usability testing is fairly clear-cut, there's a lot that goes into the process. It needs to be done properly to elicit value, and it should follow a defined process. This podcast looks at the evolution of usability testing and reviews the processes and methods that are commonly used. There are many helpful resources that can help you understand the basics, and these are explored throughout the paper. If you haven't conducted usability testing before, consider this paper your introduction. Rest assured, however, there will not be a test at the conclusion. Although once you understand the benefits, you might be tempted to start your own tests. The idea of usability testing first appeared during World War II, when John Flanagan, an industrial psychologist, discovered that reducing the number of buttons, knobs, switches, and controls in a fighter aircraft dramatically improved pilot performance. Soon thereafter, Flanagan developed the critical incident technique that outlined procedures for collecting direct observations of human behavior. The observations were tracked as incidents to solve practical problems. The work of Flanagan and others created the early foundation for usability testing. The concept was simple. Whenever a customer interacted with a company, brand, or product through an informational display, it was helpful to observe users performing tasks in order to identify opportunities for improvement. By viewing how pilots interacted with fighter control panels in simulated scenarios, the design of the jet control panel was greatly improved to promote ease of use and reduce in-flight errors. Usability research increased during the 60s as computer interfaces and microelectronics appeared. During this time, early pioneers such as Doug Engelbart, Ivan Sutherland, and Alan Kay developed many of the user interface hardware and software designs that are still used today. Often called the pioneers of cultural software, these individuals invented concepts that made it possible for computers to be used for media creation and manipulation. In the 1970s, innovation in usability testing was propelled to a new level, largely due to the efforts of Xerox. Its Palo Alto Research Center created many of the elements found in corporate usability research. You probably heard of the acronym WIMP, which is the abbreviation for Windows, Icons, Menus, Pulldowns. These concepts were developed by Xerox And as the 1980s began, usability testing was used primarily for academic or corporate research in companies like Apple, Sun Microsystems, AT&T, Microsoft, and others. After the dot-com boom in the 90s, usability testing took on a new format. For the first time, usability testing was used on a wide-scale basis for commercial purposes. It was also the first time usability, or the customer experience, was used to influence the decision-making process at companies like Amazon.com and Google. Amazon.com founder Jeff Bezos, for example, spent a significant amount of time using the basic principles of usability testing to improve the Amazon.com experience. He said, quote, "In our first year, we didn't spend a single dollar on advertising. The best dollars spent are those we use to improve the customer experience," unquote. It was during this period that usability testing flourished and played an influential role in helping companies improve website design. Dr. Jacob Nielsen once said, "It takes only 5 users to uncover 80% of high-level usability problems." Largely credited for developing many of the principles of modern usability testing, Jacob Nielsen developed Nielsen's Law of Internet Bandwidth, which evaluated the design implications from annual bandwidth growth. According to Fortune, he is the reigning guru of web usability. He's also named the world's leading expert on web usability by U.S. News & World Report and the world's foremost expert in web usability by Business Week. As a result of his work, Dr. Nielsen holds 79 U.S. patents, most of which focus on methods of web efficacy. Nielsen holds a Ph.D. in human-computer interaction from the Technical University of Denmark. From 1994 to 1998, Dr. Nielsen worked at Sun Microsystems as an engineer. He was hired to improve the user experience in complex enterprise software. It was during this time that Dr. Nielsen started exploring the emerging field of web usability. He later became the lead designer for SunWeb, the corporate website and intranet. This is when Nielsen had a major breakthrough. As he was testing the website, it occurred to him that small groups of test subjects were more effective during the development stages. His rationale was simple. If it was too difficult for 2 or 3 people to figure out a site, there was little to be gained by watching others suffer through the same flawed design. Accordingly, he favored small and frequent usability testing at various stages of development. He found that the best results came from testing no more than 5 users at a time and conducting as many tests as possible. He also defined the 5 components of usability goals, which we detail later, which are learnability, efficiency, memorability, errors, as in low error rate, and satisfaction. In 1998, Dr. Nielsen partnered with Don Norman, Ph.D., a well-known academic and expert on user-centered design, to establish the Nielsen-Norman Group. The organization provides consulting services and evaluates user interfaces. Since its creation, Nielsen-Norman Group has consulted on projects at well-known firms, including General Electric, General Motors, UPS, Hallmark, and WSJ.com. Each year, the company recognizes the 10 best intranets across industries and publishes highly respected research on interface design and testing. Nielsen also publishes an online column, the Alert Box, that addresses current issues and trends in the field. You can access Nielsen's current research and blogs on his website, www.nngroup.com. Let's explore the basic components of usability testing in detail and gain a holistic understanding of current practices and methods. There's an article that was published in 2012 by Nielsen-Norman Group on usability testing titled Usability 101, Introduction to Usability. It claims to be the perfect introduction for anyone that needs to understand the basics of usability testing in a short amount of time. It's a great starting point for any organization interested in the idea and can point you to other resources that can help you get started. If you were to simplify the idea, usability testing begins with creating a testing scenario, a user, and an observer. Scenarios provide realistic settings where a person performs a list of tasks while observers take notes. Testing instruments such as scripted instructions, paper prototypes, and questionnaires may be used to gather additional feedback on the product being tested. It's a lot like a test you'd get in the classroom, only no advanced studying is required of the testers. Let's assume, for example, that you want to test how a customer would send a complaint through your website. You would create a real-life scenario that asks a participant to do this task and provide a space that is equipped with the necessary tools. You might give a written script to the user that describes the assignment in detail and ask them to complete the task. The goal is to observe how users function in a real-life scenario so that developers can identify areas for improvement. In short, it's an opportunity to see exactly how your customers react to your products in a setting that mirrors real life. Often, usability tests are videotaped so that actions and reactions can be viewed by others in the organization to improve product design. The common perception is that testing is conducted in a quiet room and observed through a one-sided mirror. In truth, testing can be conducted anywhere. You don't need a usability lab or expensive equipment. Conference rooms or general workspaces are sufficient as long as they are equipped with portable recording devices and a place to take notes. Testing can even be conducted remotely when participants are separated by space and time. Remote testing and other approaches are discussed in detail in the following section on usability methods. As previously mentioned, the word usability refers to methods for improving ease of use and is defined by five key components. The first component is learnability. This refers to how easy it is for users to accomplish basic tasks the first time they use the design. Efficiency is the second component. This looks at how efficient a user is when performing program tasks once the design is learned. If a user continues to struggle trying to complete easy tasks, you'd probably get low marks in this category. The third component evaluates memorability. In other words, how long does it take for a user to reestablish proficiency after a period of inactivity? Will users remember how to do something quickly, or will they need to relearn basic features? The idea is to have a design that is easily remembered so users recall basic functions. The fourth feature examines errors users make. Do users make a lot of errors using the product? This component also examines the severity of the errors and how easily a user can recover. As you probably heard before, in life, falling down is inevitable. What matters is how quickly you get back up. The same concept applies to errors in testing. Users are bound to make or find mistakes. It's important to see if they can recover. The final component of usability testing is satisfaction. That is, how pleasant it is for users to use the program or design. Do users enjoy the program or activity, or is there a high level of frustration and confusion in the process? Naturally, a pleasant experience is the goal, but you can learn a lot from users that find your program or product frustrating during testing. There are a number of different testing methods that can examine these components. At a minimum, usability testing is about capturing information on these components in a formal and defined setting. In general, there are three widely recognized methods for usability testing. Hall intercept testing, or hallway testing, is the method that uses 5 to 6 participants for a testing session. Hallway testing includes random users that you might pass in a hallway, hence the name. It probably is an obvious point, but participants should not be designers or programmers, but typical users of your product or service. Hallway testing can be effective in the early stages of a new design when product managers or designers need to uncover serious challenges. Remote usability testing is aptly named. It refers to conducting testing when participants and observers are separated by space and time. You might use remote testing if participants are located in different countries, for example. Remote testing can be synchronous or asynchronous. Synchronous testing uses video conferencing or remote accessible tools like WebEx or GoToMeeting. Even though it's a big name, the idea is simple. Users participate at the same time, even if they aren't in the same place. Asynchronous testing, on the other hand, applies to websites or mobile device testing and refers to systematic collection of a user's activities while interacting with an application. For example, asynchronous testing might collect click streams or user logs of critical incidents. It might also collect task times and other data associated with how a user navigates a website or mobile site. Asynchronous tests are carried out in the user's own environment rather than labs to further stimulate real-life testing. Unlike synchronous testing, it may not involve two parties interacting together, but collect data on the actions by users. Expert reviews are another method found in usability testing. As the name suggests, it involves experienced experts in the testing process. Experts can be leaders in the field or an organization that specializes in usability testing. There are a number of organizations that offer expert reviews or testing services. An automated expert review provides usability testing using technical programs designed to analyze, design, and heuristics. In plain English, that means either an expert or an application will conduct testing to provide detailed analytics on your site or product. Automated reviews may not provide as much detail and insight as real people, but they are popular because they are cost and time efficient. Clicktail, InspectLet, and TechEd are companies that provide automated review. There are even some services such as usertesting.com that will conduct usability testing for your organization from start to finish. Not only can you use different methods in usability testing, but you can also use different techniques. Think aloud protocols, co-discovery learning, and eye tracking are three of the techniques commonly used during scenario testing to capture information on the user experience. Think aloud protocols, also known as talk aloud protocols, ask participants to talk as they are performing a set of specified tasks. Users are asked to share what they are doing, thinking, and feeling as they complete an assignment. Observers take notes as they gain a better understanding of the user experience. Often these sessions are recorded so that developers can revisit how participants reacted to specific tasks or challenges. Co-discovery learning relies on two test users to perform a task together while they're being observed. Specifically, users are encouraged to talk aloud while they complete a common task. Co-discovery learning is similar to Think Aloud protocol, in the sense that both encourage users to communicate feelings, frustrations, and thoughts during the testing process. However, some believe that co-discovery learning makes it more natural for users to verbalize thoughts during a test because they're working in a tandem on the same tasks. It can be difficult to vocalize thoughts and feelings in an isolated room, but co-discovery learning sometimes makes it easier to share thoughts because there's someone else working on the assignment. Eye-tracking research uses special equipment to detect where people's eyes are focused when they look at a computer screen. This form of usability research helps organizations understand what users find attractive in a design and what they tend to overlook. You can download a free copy of How to Conduct Eye-Tracking Studies from Nielsen Norman Group that has 65 tips to help with usability tests. While it may seem like a science fiction tool, it's actually fairly common in usability testing, and there are a lot of tools that can help implement this approach. Any of these methods or techniques can be used to find out how and why customers use your products. The methods you choose largely depend on your product, website, or scenario. Before you get started, it's important to have a clear understanding of the objectives you want to achieve. In a sense, you have to act like a professor and develop a comprehensive plan for testing and review to make sure that you are testing the right things. If you plan to conduct usability testing internally, there's a lot more to it than sitting a user in front of a product and taking notes. Whether you're testing an application, software, or product, you need a plan that clearly articulates what you will test and how it will be tested. You also need a strategy to analyze and report results that can be implemented to improve product design. In short, testing requires extensive design and planning in order to be effective, and it's a lot more work than expected. There are generally three phases of usability testing implementation, and within each phase, there are a number of tasks and deliverables that must be completed. These phases are planning, testing, and analysis and evaluation. This three-step phase should not be mistaken for simplicity. There's actually a lot of activity within each phase. In fact, there are entire books written on each of the phases, or a specific part of the phase. For example, Nielsen Norman Group has a free 147-page report that outlines 234 guidelines on how to recruit participants for usability studies. The Handbook of Usability Testing is a book that gives a broader view of the processes required in usability testing. The next section summarizes each phase at a beginner's level. To get started, you need to clearly outline the study. This is where you define what you are testing and why. You will also develop the how in this phase. In other words, exactly how will you test users on your product? This phase generally begins with the creation of a scenario. If you recall, scenarios provide realistic settings where a person performs a list of tasks while observers take notes. Testing instruments, such as scripted instructions, paper prototypes, and questionnaires, are used to gather additional feedback on the product being tested. These items need to be developed in the first phase. In the planning stage, you also identify the methods and tools you might use during testing. For example, will you use eye tracking, expert reviews, or hallway testing? Testing observers need to be trained on the types of questions to ask users during testing, if any. Think of the first stage as the opportunity to plan every detail leading up to testing. Once the plan is developed, it's a good idea to share it with stakeholders or project sponsors to make sure the plan testing meets the expectations of all involved parties. It's also a good idea to do a dry run to check for flow, consistency, and clarity. A director wouldn't open a play without a dress rehearsal. Similarly, you shouldn't unveil a testing scenario until it's been rehearsed. In the next phase, it's time to recruit participants and administer testing. Although it might be easier to use someone in-house, participants or volunteers should not be designers, developers, account executives, clients, or employees. They should be people that represent the target audience of the product or service. Experts recommend testing 4 to 8 users at different times for each testing scenario. Some believe that recruiting the right participants is the key ingredient to a successful usability testing. As Clara Teo from the UK-based firm WebCredible said, "Recruitment is one of the most important things to get right. If your participants aren't representative of your target audience, then you won't be able to trust your findings." In order to identify the right participants, you might consider developing a recruitment profile that clearly articulates who should participate. You might select people with a range of experiences to make sure there is a diverse skill set. For instance, if you're testing how someone might use a camera, it might be a good idea to test a professional photographer as well as a recreational user to get a range of perspectives and input. Don't avoid testers that may dislike your product either. Patrick Neiman, the director of product design at Enperio, said that effective tests incorporate users that are likely to hate the product. He said, "The best suggestions I've gotten have been from users that provide more negative feedback." Once you've selected users, it's time to conduct testing. The session should be observed and recorded so it can be reviewed at later stages by designers, programmers, or any resource that have a stake in the product. It's important to stick to the testing plan that was developed in phase one and follow the script and testing scenario exactly as intended. Again, if you were on stage, you wouldn't encourage actors to be spontaneous or impulsive, and the same approach applies to usability testing. Testing itself should take 15 to 30 minutes, depending on the scenario. Do not guide the user during testing. It's important that the user is given a task and observed without interference. Although it's tempting to offer suggestions and advice, the user needs to figure out the problem independently. It's okay to ask questions during testing as long as they are outside of the test. For example, asking open-ended questions like, "What were you expecting to happen at that phase?" can help clarify the user's thought process. You can also ask questions that elicit feelings or frustrations the user might experience during testing. The last phase in usability testing is evaluation and analysis. Evaluation and analysis is where you make sense of what users told you during testing and translate results into product improvement or process efficiencies. Although this is the last phase in the testing process, it's also the hardest. According to testing expert Michael Summers, quote, "Analysis of usability data is the hardest step in the process because it is easy to jump to the wrong conclusions. Evaluating the user experience relies on subjective observations, but the key to success is to translate agreed-upon interpretations to fix problems and improve products. Unquote. In this phase, it's a good idea to assemble the development team and watch testing videos as a group. Since usability testing is largely a qualitative process, there's a lot of room for interpretation of results. It's unlikely that two observers will always reach the same conclusion. For this reason, it's important to review the data together so the team can reach a consensus on observations and brainstorm solutions on how to address problem areas to improve the product. During analysis, you might look for patterns in testing. Were there areas that produced challenges for every tester? It's also when you review any comments or concerns that were raised during testing and discuss methods for improvement. The next step is to develop a plan to make changes to the product. Usability testing is not a one-time thing. If you recall, experts say companies should always be testing. Once you've made the product improvements from the first round of testing, testing begins again. You might test to see if you fix the challenges that were uncovered in previous scenarios. The more you test, the more you refine your product. This is why companies like Amazon.com have more than 200 usability tests underway at any given moment. There's always room for improvement, and that means there's always room for testing. You may find that usability testing is too difficult to manage internally, but you're convinced of the value and importance. Relax, there are a lot of options available for outsourcing. If you want to use an outside party for testing, there are a number of companies that provide a full range of usability testing services. Companies like UserZoom, Centralis, and TechEd can help you define, create, and implement usability testing from start to finish. If you want help with parts of testing, there are quite a few tools and resources that can be downloaded and catered to your testing needs. There's no question about it. If done correctly, usability testing can yield significant results and measurable outcomes. Consultant Michael Summers claims that usability testing led to significant website improvement for his clients. Summers and his team observed user behaviors in different scenarios and used the information to improve user interface on specific websites. In one case study, after multiple testing sessions that led to design improvements, the customer experienced a 54% improvement in successful task completion, a 164% reduction in time on task, and a 23% improvement in subjective satisfaction. In another example, the same firm did a usability study of a retail website. The website had recently been redesigned, and the completion rates at the checkout process were lower than anticipated. After adopting recommendations from usability testing, the retailer measured fewer users abandoning their carts and an increased number of completed purchases. Stories like this make a compelling case for the benefits of usability testing when it translates observations into action. There are other benefits usability testing provides. If done correctly, it can increase sales, improve performance, and decrease costs associated with design and development. Usability testing can also fast-track design and development timelines and help influence more accurate designs while reducing errors. Not to mention, by seeing how customers interact with your product firsthand, you might obtain a competitive edge in the market. If you use testing to improve a website, you'll probably see a reduction in your bounce rate and an increase in sales. Testing can also provide valuable insight to your internal design team. It provides a way to capture feedback from a target audience that can be filtered directly to the project team. That can be immensely beneficial to product designers tasked with improving the product. It can also help settle internal debates on design issues. Different groups can test options that are being discussed to resolve what method works best. Finally, it gives an opportunity to identify issues and potential problems before a product is launched. For these reasons and many others, the popularity of usability testing has continued to increase. Jacob Creech from Intuition HQ published an article on the top 10 reasons you should initiate usability testing. Most of the reasons are similar to those previously mentioned, like the ability to improve usability, user experience, and accessibility. Creech also claims it can increase customer satisfaction and improve the reputation of your brand. He notes that, quote, developing a reputation for producing usable, enjoyable websites will help set you apart from others. Happy clients who recommend you to others will help you stand out. Even offering a usability testing service in the first place will help you stand out." Unquote. With all that said, does usability testing really make the grade? Not everyone gives usability testing high marks. Critics claim that usability testing doesn't always live up to its full potential, especially if it's conducted poorly without a well-planned methodology. Some even challenge Nielsen's assertion that 5 users are adequate to find 80% of usability errors in almost any product. Rolf Mollick from .NET Magazine, for example, claims that this is a myth. After capturing information from the comparative usability evaluation, there is some evidence that suggests that more users uncover greater percentages of errors in a website. The study found that small groups catch about 30 out of 200 usability problems, but teams of 15 or more found 60% of total errors. The Q also showed that expert reviews found the largest percentage of errors in a website and were more effective than randomly selected users. Another criticism of usability testing is that it is never 100% representative of real-life scenarios. Although the goal is to create scenarios that mirror common use, it's impossible to fully replicate how a customer uses your product in a home or business setting. For example, one of your testers may be a mother of 2, and unless her children are running around the testing lab, the scenario is not fully representative of her true life. Likewise, a sales representative may need to access your site while talking to a client on the phone, which is unlike a testing situation where he or she is completely focused on the testing at hand. Usability testing can be expensive and time-consuming, too. As noted, to be effective, it requires a significant amount of resources for planning and execution. Another complaint is that the test validity depends heavily on identifying the right target group. You can jeopardize the entire session if you pick the wrong testers. This happens when people select testers that are friends, family members, or coworkers. While it may seem like these individuals are representative of potential users, in actuality, they are most likely from the same demographic and have similar education and economic levels. Suddenly, the study does not have a variety of users. Dana Chisnell summarized it nicely in a usability-focused blog when she said that, for many of us, usability testing is a necessary evil. For others, it's too much work or it's too disruptive to the development process. Not every company has the resources and time available to conduct usability testing, and even when they do, if it's not done correctly, it won't produce results. That's why if you plan to implement usability testing studies, it's important to get it right, or hire someone that can do it for you. So, how do you make the final grade? In the final analysis, the pros of usability testing far outweigh the cons. Canoe, a Swiss firm that claims to specialize in end-user happiness, claims that it can be done on limited budgets and doesn't necessarily require extensive training and tools. According to a consultant at Canoe, quote, "The key to getting value from usability testing is to keep investment and costs to a minimum. Train yourself. Don't commit to fancy tools. Resist the allure of pricey consultants and just get on with practicing." Unquote. Whatever, if any, testing method you pursue, the key is to develop a plan and stick to it. Overall, testing can be a valuable tool to make sure your product receives a passing grade in the market.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on usability testing. As always, keep on the lookout for future podcasts, which offer valuable insights into a variety of topics. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.